Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Podomation update. Must be 29 or 30. Who could believe it? So in this podcast, I tell you about the software developments I've done in the Podomation, which I say is the general process area from the creative stuff that I produce to actually getting it out there on the internet. I suppose the major sub-story is the sitting down and actually putting a bit of time into writing up a blog for it. Now, this is obviously not the podcast, but this is the blog. Blog aspect of it. Now, what's happening to it? The sort of the primary rehabilitative thing of doing that is the recall, the structuring that senses the lack of spelling mistakes, trying to get that going up. So that's one aspect of it. The other aspect is the typing speed. So I would have done in the last month 1,500 typing tests, where I'm just slowly increasing my typing speed and I suppose getting to know what happens that when I'm tired or when I think, the amount of thinking, that is the minimum amount of brain power before you type. So that's one stream which is going in with the writing up of podcasts, and then eventually after I've got the length out, the overall structure, that is start to introduce structural elements, introduction, evidence for, counterpoint, conclusion, if I can do that and get coherent documents up. So that's down the track at the moment. I'm just increasing that that level. Now there's the actual core Podomation thing, which takes my podcast and divides it, divvies it up. I've just realised that I've probably back-ended a sort of a diatribe on teaching culture, a diatribe. So just recently, I've just tonight on my couple of what would have been be probably 20, oh, probably 15, around 20 kilometre walk at night. So I've got to really get on top of things. So it's not just for me, so walking, it's not just getting cardiac up there. There's this cardiac limit, so when I do some rehab, I get short of oxygen. When I do upper body work, so I've got to get the weight and rehab down to just really push and punish all of this. But I'm not rehabilitating to the perfectly fit body. That's what, you know, if there was ever everything, I've got to, there's sort of limitations which I've got to actually understand and get across. So although it's a fantastic replacement heart valve, I don't think it can operate up at full capacity. It might, I don't know. I have to get on that. So I've done, this is the third podcast tonight, and or this morning, I suppose. You can just see the hear the hornbill cuckoo coming in, so it must be about 2 a.m. now, coming in. So there's these different bird calls you can hear at night, which can tell you pretty much what time of night you're operating at. And of course, there's the moon, which has come down from come out of cloud cover. Yes, that's ideal walking conditions. Yep, absolutely perfect temperature. But that being said, I've just done two podcasts, one on trying to dissect your way through teacher culture and your structure forward. That is, it's fairly complex and dense podcast, the first one. This is the realization that it's a culture war, and one of the things is you don't want to provoke a war which you can't win, or you don't want to fight. The second one was analysis of, it turned out to be analysis of Bohemian Rhapsody, a movie that I saw. And I suppose one of the things is if you know a lot and you're into the culture, you can actually link what you see with greater things. For me, unfortunately, I've just got to look at the movie itself and look at internal links and structures within it. Now, this is the third podcast, which is the content, and the content driving engine is very stable. So every time it works pretty much, well, it works every time. But I'm going to upgrade it a little bit more. I have sort of a legacy link to other podcasts, which you can press there. And I'm going to... there's two operations which I'll take out. I'll take maybe a second or so off. And so I'll just put it in such that you can press a button and it upgrades the podcast it links to. And press a button and it will work out how to put cover art on. I have something where you just have to write in some cover art. So I've just got to really... see how that's done. So that's just a tiny thing to add to it. And then the other podcast thing I'm against is, and it sort of links together with the long description, because it's only when I write the long description that I do get feedback. People who are following me saying, "Did you do this? Did you do that?" This is the second tranche of software, which takes a podcast, which I've learnt to do, and converts it into a multiple choice lesson. And, the key here is not the actual automation software, it's the actual interaction with the input. So, as in writing up your podcasts, I'm typing more and will gain the structure there. I've looked at Audacity and gradually skilled myself up in producing the podcast for Audacity. So I'll stop now at the moment and actually talk you through what Audacity is and how I use it and how it operates. And it's probably appropriate that I do it now, because if I first explained it, I would then have to say to you all, "No, I don't do that anymore." So Audacity, basically, if you want to have Audacity on your computer, you type it into your browser and the word Audacity and download, and it'll take you to a site, and Audacity will download. You can download, and then if you write in your Windows command area the word Audacity, it will pull up the application. You can click it and launch and Audacity. So what is Audacity? Well, Audacity is a graphical interface. So it's a whole lot of graphs and buttons which display a recorded waveform that you record and drop in the area or record yourself. And it has a track system. So, and a scale. So you can actually see the sound signal and pick up the actual, I'm just getting a bit exhausted walking along here. You can actually see your sound signal. So what is actually Audacity? Audacity is a front-end graphical interface which converts your graphical pressing and your key strokes into text commands, which go down to a text library called LAME, which then authors and audits and runs the your file. And so essentially what you do is that you see time, it sees a editing file, and between two points it will edit your file. It's just recording a script file, and so essentially it will save a script file of how you've edited everything, so you can go back and forth. It's just as you're editing, as if you're editing a script file, this edits it for you. Now you don't see that. However, I do something very similar to it with LabVIEW, which is a graphical interface, and it also uses a LAME. And so I've written something, a Audacity companion. But Audacity by itself is something which has full access to the LAME libraries, whereas me, when I'm going into LAME, scratching my head, sort of, there's all these new things I really don't understand. I use it just for select uses, but the integrated package, Audacity, is far better. So, the initial protocol was that I would, while walking, introduce an area, give an explanation, question, answer, go across, and this would produce a podcast. I'd listen to it, drop it into Audacity. I had originally written a LabVIEW program to do it, and it, although it was good in a way, it didn't really capture it. Audacity beats it hands down. You just give up. The advantage of writing a LabVIEW program, your own thing, is that you have things that you want to do, and therefore when you get into Audacity, you automatically know what you want to do and look for these features and actually get onto them. I don't know quite how you describe it. So it sort of primes you. So it is wasted time, but it means that wasted time is picked up very quickly when you get into Audacity and you start to know how to use it. So in Audacity, now how I use Audacity, so I'm sitting in front of Audacity, and unfortunately I'm in a room and I record into Audacity, and you'll get better quality than me walking around the Australian bush speaking into a dictaphone, for sure, but it's a bit echoey, and so it's something that is a low-hanging fruit. So if I get a right microphone on a boom, hanging on a boom, so the vibrations don't go up the table, so when I click, the click doesn't travel up the tripod into the microphone. So when I click, so there's things there. So I record. Now, to record on Audacity, all you do is hit the letter R, and it starts recording. Couldn't get simpler than that. So you start off with a blank Audacity, hit the letter R, and when you finish recording, you press spacebar. And if you want to record further than that, it's shift R. Now, I have this, I don't know, feeling I'd like something a little bit better than that, because I don't like pressing the shift and R key. That's a bit too much coordination for me. I'd like something which is probably perhaps voice activated. That'd be great. There. So what that means is that you need a little bit of coordination. You have to do capital R and space. So if you want to put a silent space in there, it's really not much to it, you just shift space and don't say anything. You're a fairly good silent, silent space in there. Now, what this means is that you can get an explanation that you've just produced. If it's no good, you just leave it there or you move on. And then what you do is you go up to, up there you've got a menu item called Tracks. New, down the menu, it's Tracks, New, and then it'll be automatically stereo. The track will automatically be put up there when you press R and shift R afterwards. But a new label track. Now, in the label track, you highlight a piece of sound that you want, put Control B, and then it then labels that section. Oh, sorry, I just stopped there because there's still a heap of dust. So we've just had dust storms out here. For some reason, the dust has really come up around this section. And so I sneezed in this canyon and it wouldn't have been picked up from the dictaphone, but it was real loud. So I'm at the head of this canyon here and there's this loud, went up. Listening up to it, went at about 900 metres, 600 metres up, fraction of a second. Like, so, sorry, it's hearing different bird calls, as we come along. Yeah, so, so you get different things. So, I've got to write this down, but you then tag something. So if something's next, the introduction, for some reason I've got the letter T. If it's an explanation of a question, E. If it's the right answer, R. If it's the wrong, sorry, if it's a question, Q. If it's the right answer, R. If it's the wrong answer, W. Because all these letters, T, Q, R, you know, are all up the top there. Control B is a bit of a bugger to get down there, key things. But once you've got it up there, you then label it. Now, what happens is that then you put, I think it's Shift Alt L, and that will, after you've done it, it will export all of those files into a directory. So this, I always have it the same directory, but there's something a little bit more that you do. You go into Preferences Reports and you unclick the report saying, for each file that you make, make me a cover. You say, no. No thanks, I'm not interested in it. So what happens is that it will go through and export every little phrase you tag as a separate file. Now, there's a slight difference in terms of that the first Q that you have will be Q. The second Q will be Q-1, Q-2. So if you label it, it can handle it. And then you have to put it into a system. Then you've got those files. Then you have to take those files and for the different Q's and E's. So, say, if you've got the third question, third wrong answer, that will be W-9. So, it's sort of a bit of a nightmare. So, there's a process here where I can't... Oh, yeah, no, there's an actual rather sexy thing where it goes through and it looks for an E. And this is our first E, it's the first E. And then after the first E, the next question must be the first Q. So it renames it Q1 and then A1 or whatever it is. And it just renames everything ready to go in your file. And at the moment I have that as a separate program. I'll have it automatic I'm just about ready to put that in automatic. So what it does, it takes the directory and takes it and purges it and creates a new folder file. And I, this is one of the things that I've had to go in. Is that a duck? I just think we're just coming to the water at the bottom of the canyon. Just get the black here. It's the water's really inky black, and I thought I saw some sort of, I could see vibrations in the water, indicating that there's some bird hiding in the bushes up there. Okay, well, this is, now I'm going to, this is a one heck of a walk up here, so I'll just get through here. So we're at Audacity, and it's taken your speech, and you press Shift Alt L or something like that, and gone out, had a cup of coffee, or done something else, because it can take a minute, 2 minutes to actually go through, and especially if you've got long, bloody-winded explanation. Now, the advantage of doing it this way is that you can start to break the explanations down to one sentence at a time and build it up, rather than actually get yourself into talking. So it's a you know, they're really rigorous explanations, but it takes it ready to load in to your lesson synthesizer. So your lesson synthesizer has two directories. It's got one directory of generic music, question one, question two, the answer is A, B, C, D. That's all that generic thing, and it splices what you've said together. So it re-splices everything, and there are four splice programs. One just takes the general introduction. That's the introduction stuff. Programs it to be a multiple choice where the question is given, and then the answer, then the explanation. So this is, if you're in the car and you're listening to things, you can go and use that. And that goes through. And that required a bit of work. And so what actually happens is that, we'll just go through, there's four versions of it. So it then produces four composite files, which splice together in a systematic way the common structure of a lesson with the microscopic questions and answers, and produces it, and it intelligently counts the number of questions and tells you this is a 10 question quiz, or this is a 5 question quiz, and produces there. So it's these things like this. Now what it does is it does these composition things, and so as it's composing, it will report if it's got a file that it wants and it can't find it. So what happens is that so you've got these two baskets of sound recordings, and it produces a menu manifest for how these should be structured together. And so it'll be the introduction, this is question one. What the question is the answer A, but B, something like that. So I'll go through that and produce a manifest, that then reads the manifest, and then we'll construct a composite file from the manifest. And of course, in the manifest, does things like randomizes the answers to the question, but keeps track of where the actual answer is. So it will put the correct answer randomly at A to D, and then tell you that the correct answer is what it selected as the correct answer, and then says the explanation for this is this, goes through. Now, it's this built, and once that's built, it's a set of standard text that is given to give you a guide to what's there, and then it's put together in a waiting place. When the construction's finished, it then pops the entire directory of files in an upload area, and the upload engine, which likes a single file dropped in at a single time rather than a directory and files being progressively built. So when files are built, they can take a time, because there's a gap. Like it takes a minute or so. Say if you've got 10 questions, you may get easily 60 little voice files to be stuck together. So that takes a while to build it. Then once it's built, it has to compress it and add cover art to it. So that takes a while. So it does that separately in the area, moves it to the upload area, and it's not fully functioned yet, because it doesn't yet check after a while that it's uploaded and then remove it from the upload area. So I don't know whether I'll have a software in background, but it does that for the for podcasts. So it when you have a podcast, it puts it together, publishes it, gets everything ready, then puts it in the upload area, then when it's next on, it just checks the upload area, checks the internet. If it's uploaded to the internet successfully, removes it from the upload area to get it done. It's not yet smart enough to actually report failures to me. I do eventually see it. So that's a statement away. So it takes that, so it does that automatically. So basically you record a few questions, you enter the title of the quiz and a bit of text about what the quiz is about, and then the quiz is out there. End of story. And every time it does, it goes out there, it has randomization of the errors of the questions. Now, there's a class test version of it where does the entire test, then it reads out all the answers, then it gives you all the explanations. So you can run it as a class test and people can fill it in, swap papers, record marks for it. So that's all automated. Now I had sort of tagged 2-3 months to get there, but how did it come? It was just, I think the major thing was having a nested script language. So for a for a particular type of thing, it would be introduction, number of questions, format one, closing. And format one would go up and substituting the long amount of scripts, it would run a separate team to do it, to take all the individual questions and structure it. And so that took remarkably little time to do. And then all the other components were sitting around. So it's just a matter of sticking it together. So it took a while to go across. And as always, there's a trial. You have a few things. And you look at the various things together. Now, one of the major things was the actual production and time to produce. It was taking too long to actually produce. And that was done. That was tackled by actually producing in the Audacity environment rather than producing it outside the Audacity environment, going in and reworking out what's going on. You have to produce actually inside the Audacity environment. That's one thing that came across, the nested scripting, the fact that the posting to blog and podcasts was automated, meant that we're there a long time. But as said, I had a trial, ran a few across, waited, and essentially what happens when you wait, your computer shuts down, and if you haven't saved things properly, you open them up again, they don't always work right again. And it's best to actually take a break and actually get some of these things under control. So that's what's happened. And the last podcast, I did a very small two-question podcast, or quiz podcast, about buoyancy in support of a podcast about ballooning. And this particular person called Sophie Blanchard. Yeah, so there's several things here. I have to read an article, memorize it, get the components, put it out there. But now that you may say this is a great feat, but there's other areas I can, listening to multiple conversations or remembering what I've been said, I still, you know, in a context, especially, like it's easy enough to remember factual information, but it's the emotive information which is hard to necessarily process. So, and then I put it up, and so it's put up, but it's reporting all these errors. And as I said before, it in the lab view reports any file it couldn't find. And it was saying, and there was about 10 errors, not 10 errors, but enough errors to make me a bit worried. So I put it out and checked everything. It seemed okay. But you have to be really good to actually pick up what was missing. And so I went today, a little time, brief time to actually check what these errors were. And one error was that I was asking it to search for substitute into the script a double, I think it's double question, double answering things where you repeat, Then you have to repeat the question twice when you're in class, and so people can listen to it. Oh, sorry. And that was because I have the actual starter scripts on the screen, and it, unless you tell it that you want it to save the screen settings as default, it won't. So I had changed it and not saved it. So that was one thing which cleaned up. So that was easy to clean up. And then there was another thing. It was generating these composite script for file names, which was, you know, beyond me. And the composite script was the only composite script it produced which I couldn't recognize was 1Q2. So instead of Q2, it had, was giving a composite script of 1Q2. So that was a bit hard, and then I dived back into it. Now, it's showing us going like this, but the actual script report was coming out on the side, wasn't showing that it was looking for it, but it was showing this as an error, but the error wasn't in the script report. Now, this is a little bit further back, so if you've got a piece of code working and you're going to upgrade it, you have their own panels, and you just say you copy your panel, upgrade it, and then wire your old panel. They're like circuit boards, and you can copy your circuit board up and rewire your circuit board for it in, and then disconnect the underneath circuit board, connect the top one in, and just check that it works. So I had left a diagnostic. So what you do is you, what I had left is these three, an old circuit board, a second old, and a super duper circuit board with reduced wiring in it. But I had left the diagnostic sitting on the sitting on the old circuit board, and so that was reporting the script from the old circuit board, and the so the old circuit board was powered but didn't have the its output was left hanging off. So you do this so you can prototype three types of circuit boards, one after the other, just by having a switch. You can switch them on, so you have them all powered up, but you take the output from the one that you like the most. And the problem was that I had my diagnostic on the old one, which is saying all's okay, and then I had asked the new one to do double questions, which is okay. No, I think it was rather than just the answer, it says the question and the answer. So it's a little bit better. So sort of, it says the answer is blah. The answer to this question is blah. Is a blah. So it makes it easy to understand. So what had happened is that I had wired it up, but I hadn't wired a carriage return in the for the at the end of the first question. I didn't wire a carriage return, so when it's doing second question, it then butted the second question right into the first question and created a mad script. So it was just a second there to actually go in, create another circuit slot for a character turn, and then just the original character turn, put it in the second time. And alarmingly, when I cleaned that up, it all worked. Now the circuits, so then I went in and removed the old and second oldest circuit. Now it's all up and running. And so when I think it was yesterday, put in the quiz, I wrote, look, there's 10 errors which I've got to look at. And now that I'm writing, people are saying, wanting to know a bit more, that when I do actually do the podcast, they're not all that interested, I don't know, for getting it up now. I've just got to really think. I'm just a bit I like to actually do my writing in the lab view, because it doesn't know error correction, and so it forces me to spell and get everything right, and then I can actually see how well I'm doing. Whereas if I put it in Blogger directly or in a word processing program, it tends to correct as you go, and you tend to slow down and fix it up. So the plan there was for that to, when I saw 10 errors and the nature of them and the fact that I couldn't work out where they were coming from, I sort of said, oh, that's going to take a week to get. But it actually only took 10 minutes all up to correct it. So that's all hunky-dory, and I just have to get into it and actually start producing quizzes to come along with the thing, and try and write things up. So this time in this automation, I've sort of described software, and really is the automation is about getting content out there. It's not so much about what the content is, and but getting out there requires, it's not necessarily just the voice, it's going over it again, it's the typing up of the blog associated with it, and getting a rapport and understanding about what's going on. It's then also production of the blogs, the podcasts. So while at the moment, if I'm doing a cardiac rehab walk, it's worthwhile, it's time efficient to do it. But for a quiz, the actual complexity of it means it's time inefficient to do a quiz while you're walking. Because the time you save doing a quiz while you're walking is easily taken up in editing and listening to various things, whereas if you do it in Audacity, it's there. The final aspect of it was describing how the robotic software, which is basically you wire together circuit boards, sort of circuits, and you put them in panels and put them in a virtual machine to make what's going on. And there's a bit of a craft to do things gently, because if you can copy a circuit board by just saying duplicate, it goes up there, and then you then unwire your old circuit board. Old circuit board wired up, but you then just take the output of your new circuit board in and you start doing it. So it allows you to take a risk, take a few complex things and go across. And of course, it sort of explains how this sort of thing can happen, especially if you have things that you're doing and diagnostics left on an old circuit board, looking at the performance of a new circuit board, you can just go absolutely mad. But it gives you a bit of an idea about what's going on in the automation world. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.